the show. Rhythms high and rhythms low. Feel the vibe, let it flow. Bongo boys, here we go. Tapping drums fast and slow. Heartbeats thumping in a row. Energy starts to grow. Bongo boys steal the show. We're drumming strong, join the beat, come along. Feel the rhythm all night long. Bongo boys, that's our song.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Bongo Boys episode number 3. Here with my co-host Josh. How you doing, Josh?
Good, how are you?
Pretty good, pretty good. We promised we would try to keep the schedule a little closer in terms of episodes, so here we are, a few weeks later, and
like 2 months as opposed to like 6. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like a month or ish
and a half.
But last time we left off, Josh was about to leave for Japan, and now that Josh is back from Japan, maybe Josh can kind of catch us up on what he did, what it was fun, and what kind of things he was up to while he was out for like a couple of weeks in Japan, right?
Yes, 2 weeks.
Yeah.
It was a great time, honestly. Completely different experience, especially really the only out of the country I've ever done before was going to Montreal like 2 years before. Just being in a completely different culture and seeing just a completely different side of existence, really. It's a lot of fun. Dude, their public transportation is crazy. I can't get over how nice that is, just to be able to train everywhere, just go into the subway and just get places without having to deal with driving or anything like that. And then
transportation, what's that?
True. But yeah, I mean, just all of the metro and everything like that was just so convenient and so easy and so cheap on top of that, where it was just like, oh, I can just get wherever I want for like no money. It's not like I'm paying for gas or anything. I'm just paying for the like 100, 150, 200 yen, you know, multiple stop train thing that takes like probably, well, no, in Tokyo it wouldn't take that long, or it would take longer to drive probably anyways, so it's like, it's so convenient. And then the bullet train was awesome. Just especially the way it went, because we go to Kyoto first, and either on the way there and on the way back from Osaka you can see Mount Fuji off in the distance. And both times it was cloudy. But it was almost, to me, cooler, because although you can't see like the tip of Mount Fuji, you just have Mount Fuji with this like ominous clouds around it. And the second time it was storming. So it's like, it's like the mountain was angry.
that's where the quest boss is. So he's up there.
Absolutely. Yeah. And then the food was great. Famichiki slaps. I'm a big supporter of the Famichiki.
What is that?
So, as you may know, convenience stores are a pretty big thing there. 7-Eleven is one of the big ones, but then there is also Family Mart and Lawson's are like the three big convenience store brands. And Family Mart has the Famichiki, which is just like fried chicken. Like if you've been to like a Quick Trip or a 7-Eleven here where you have like the roller grill items.
Yeah.
It's kind of like that, except it's not on a roller grill. It's just sitting there and it's kept warm, but like somehow it tastes much more like fresh made food than anything we have here. It's so good. And then obviously anything I went for actual sit down restaurants was incredible. Pokemon Cafe, we went.
Yeah.
I saw Pikachu twerk. That was crazy.
That's an experience you're never going to forget.
Never, never. And then we also did the Kirby Cafe, and that was adorable in its own way. No Kirby twerking, unfortunately.
Oh, man. Okay, he was eating people, right? He was just breathing them in.
Yeah, pretty much. No, there was no like there was no room for someone to be a Kirby in that environment. But the food was amazing. It was all really fun to see how themed it got and everything.
Yeah.
Also, Universal Studios Osaka, probably my favorite theme park that I've been to ever.
Okay.
With the understanding that I haven't been to Nijigen no Mori where I can zipline into Godzilla's mouth.
Well, then you're saving that for next time, right?
Correct. But that'll probably win just on the sole basis of the zipline. Like, the whole park could be terrible, but if I get to zipline into Godzilla's mouth.
Yeah.
How do you beat that?
I mean, who wouldn't want to do that?
That's what I'm saying. But just the theming and the way the park is built, Universal Studios is incredible. And the Super Mario Nintendo World was even more mind-blowing. I mean, literally, you walk through the warp pipe and it truly feels like you have stepped into a different world. There are the question mark blocks everywhere. There are some that you can even punch up at and hit and they'll make the noise and everything. There's literally like Goomba, animatronic Goombas walking in areas and Koopas and the fire plants and all of that stuff. Yeah. It's insane. Like, genuinely, it's incredible. It was a lot of fun. I didn't get to do all of the rides, so we didn't get to do the Mario Kart ride, sadly, because the lines are absurd. I thought lines here were absurd. Somehow they were worse there. I don't know how that works.
People are on time there.
True. But we did like the Donkey Kong ride, which was great. We did the Yoshi ride, which was definitely more of a kid's ride, but it was fun. Overall, fantastic time. My favorite day, we did the Fushimi Inari Temple. So that's with the Torii Gates up the mountain.
Yeah,
we walked all the way up the mountain and it was gorgeous. I mean, it was absolutely beautiful. Also, part of the reason it was my favorite is just because I've been exercising, trying to get back into shape. And going up there and making it up the mountain and not feeling like my legs were about to implode and my whole body was dying, I was like, this, I have made progress. Something has been done.
It's good to feel that achievement, you know?
Yeah, because when we did Montreal and in Montreal, my shin, like, exploded. It was, like, bad. I was about to die the entire time. And so making that, it was like, this is... I have made progress. Work has been done.
That's great.
And so it was a phenomenal trip. Came back with so much stuff. Lots of Pokemon cards. Lots of other memorabilia, which is all on a shelf over here that no one can see because I don't have room for it elsewhere. But it was a fantastic time.
Sounds like a fun time.
We definitely recommend it.
Yeah, well, I know, you know, arguably we'll eventually, hopefully, plan a trip where, you know, us and the boys and the gang goes to Japan.
That would be sick.
Can be a fun trip. And then since you've already been there and you kind of like understand how things work, it'll probably help us a lot. And you've been learning Japanese. You were learning kanji.
Trying my best. It's slow going. But
is that helpful? Like, it wasn't helpful
to kind of,
like, at least understand what and where you are.
Yes, absolutely. There's a lot of stuff in English, especially in Tokyo, but like having at least some basis means it's easier for you to interact with people when you're buying stuff or you're interacting in a restaurant and whatnot, as well as just getting around. You'll occasionally be able to read things a little easier if for whatever reason it's not in English and whatnot. It's definitely helpful. I would definitely say it's worth putting in a good bit of time to learn it. I'm going to keep learning just because it's like at this point I've put enough time into it that it's silly to not just keep doing it.
Yeah.
But I definitely think, I mean, but it's also my personal opinion that if you're going to any country whose main language is not English, you should put some time into trying to learn a little bit of their language just to be polite and respectful and, you know, nice to their culture and learn a bit of them. So that you're not just going over and expecting to be catered towards.
I mean, it's the least you can do, especially in a culture that is very respectful of like everyone around them, even tourists. Like, they're very, you know, kind and nice towards and polite. As long as you show them respect, they will respect you in kind, you know. And that's just how it is. And you know, if you're that American walking around with a body pillow and doesn't speak any or understand any Japanese, I'm sure they're not very fond of that. But when they recognize that you put in time and effort to try to learn their culture and learn their language, I, you know, like anyone would be appreciative of someone from a different culture trying to do that.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. Well, I know you said that on the train there, you could see Mount Fuji. I know it's a common mistake that people actually get the wrong seats. Were you guys able to get the right seats? Like you're facing Mount Fuji?
We had the right seats both times.
Nice.
So we're like looking at it straight through the window and just, I don't know, the countryside that you go past between Tokyo and Osaka and Kyoto is also beautiful. I don't know what it is. I don't know why it feels much more beautiful than here, but it is. Maybe that's just a grass is greener bias type thing. But
you mean there's not like 50 gas stations passing by and a bunch of concrete in your way?
Yeah. No. I mean, given, you know, you drive between certain areas here and there's not going to be a bunch of concrete in between, but I don't know. It just doesn't, it doesn't hit the same. but again, I don't know. Maybe that's just the grass is greener thing where you just, it seems better because it's new and it's the place where you're not.
It's unfamiliar.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's awesome. I'm glad you had a great trip and got to do a lot of cool things and collect a lot of cool things. I know you brought back some collectibles and then you brought the bunch of booster boxes directly from Japan, from the Pokemon Center.
None of the booster boxes were from Pokemon Centers. Those were from LGSs there because you most were able of the time when singles, I got to the Pokemon Center. Yes, I got some individual packs from Pokemon Center. Yeah. I got some Heat Wave.
Okay. Yeah.
And unfortunately, well, unfortunately, fortunately, doesn't really matter. The booster boxes that I got for myself, both, because I got two Journey or two Battle Partners and two Heat Wave, they both opened to be the same cards mostly. As far as any of the art rares or anything like that. So I got two of the Zorax. I got two of, what was it? Wattrels. Iona's Wattrels. I did get the Whale Lord, though. And that's what matters.
And you got the Furret, right? I think you got the Furret.
I think that was later, I think.
Okay.
I don't think that was out of those boxes. I still have your boxes that I need to ship out. I'm waiting for someone else to give me their address so I don't have to go to the post office multiple times and they're for whatever reason delaying on it. I need to shake them down for their address.
Well, they got a few more days and then the box goes back into the collection.
The true, yeah, I just opened it anyways.
Yeah.
I'm sure that would go
over. Like, oh, you snooze, you lose.
For real.
Like you're trying to give this person this box from Japan. It's not like you're like you know, trying to keep it. You're like, please take it. Just give me the address.
Yeah, I just need to know where they said it. And it's not like, it's not someone where I can send something to someone else instead and they'll just give it to them because I don't know anybody else over there because they're over in Washington State.
Okay.
I don't know anybody on that side of the country otherwise. So,
me, your friend in Washington. I'll go.
Yeah, you'll take it? Okay.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I've got to get all that stuff sent out still, but we'll get there eventually and we'll get to see if you got better luck. I'm sure you'll pull the chases in both sets and I'll just stare blankly watching you open them and cry.
We did agree that if I pull cards that you want, we're gonna at least for we'll the figure shaman, it out for sure. And obviously, since you have been collecting Enzoroark,
please no, I don't need more. I've got like eight of them.
You know, I will give you more any that I pull.
If you we'll get the belly belt, we'll talk.
Yeah,
if you get the belly belt, we'll talk. Anything if you try to give me another Zora or Zoroark, I'm gonna like tilt off the face of the planet.
Find it full of Zoroarks,
bro. I'm working on it. Apparently.
Not my choice.
Yeah. Unwillingly, it's just happening. This is just where I'm at this point.
Yeah.
But yeah. So.
Yeah. But it is sad for the hobby because of the whole, like, you know, increase in price for international products, a lot of people are going to be struggling to get products from like Japan. And I mean, like, even people that are trying to get into Korean and Chinese cards are going to get hit by the same international price rate hikes, which sucks because they're, like we have said in previous podcasts, that like their quality control is just so much better. And you know, for somebody who's collecting cards that look nice, you want to be able to get the ones that are going to have the best quality for them. And I know some people actually have been flying to Japan and getting the product directly there and then flying back.
That's crazy to just do that for that sole purpose. I can't imagine. Like, and it sucks
But
because that being a limiting factor for it is kind of silly in the first place, because really, like, I would rather just be buying English cards because I don't like that I'm taking from the Japanese market, but it's like I can't find the English cards anywhere most of the time. Although I will say Journey Together has been a bit better. I've been able to find an ETB or two here or there. I've seen them out in the wild actually, as opposed to Prismatic that just like didn't exist anywhere ever, unless I hunted for it all day when I was pretty sure they were dropping. And it's like, okay, I can get my one and be happy.
But on the bright side, with this Journey Together set coming out, the scalpers got hit real hard, and I'm so happy because they bought so many ETBs, and everyone's just getting it at MSRP or around it, and they can't charge people two or three times the price, and they're so upset about it, and it's just hilarious that now they adjust to get their product off of their like inventory, they have to sell it at MSRP because otherwise they'll just be out money in general because everyone can just buy it at somewhere else. So I'm glad that kind of is happening and people are able to at least get cards because, you know, like you said, it was so difficult to get English cards anywhere because I would go to stores and I would get like one single of certain sparks and I would be happy about it. Or if I go to somewhere else and like it's just so absurdly priced that like it's not worth buying it, you
It's
know?
not worth it. Yeah, it's like, why would I why would I waste my money on this?
Pay like, you know, so much more just for like the same product. But yeah, we'll give an update about the cards we pull, don't pull. Maybe Josh gets more NZRX. We'll keep you guys posted on that.
Yeah,
But
I've got another box of Dream or Battle Partners coming. So if I get another Zora, I'm gonna tilt. It's over.
you know
It's
what?
yeah,
I'm gonna be nice to you. I'll take them off your hands, you know, like
you'll take him, dude. Honestly, I might as well just like take one. You get a Zora. You get a Zora.
Honestly, I've been looking at those. Have you seen those like extended display cases? You know what I'm talking about?
Not off the top of my head. Let me look.
Okay, so it's basically you have your card, right? And you're trying to put it in a case, but then the case on the outside is just extension of the artwork on the card.
Oh,
So
okay, yes.
And it looks
That'd be
really nice,
sick.
and it's a nice way to keep your card. And then when you display them, like if you put it on a shelf or pull it in your like, you know, collectible items, you know, collection, it looks really nice, and it keeps your card safe. And I know a lot of
Yeah, that
people
would be
have
cool.
been selling those. So I actually looked up a few this morning, and I was like, you know what? I don't have like crazy, you know, price cards or anything, but I have cards that I like. And I was like, you know what? It would be nice to have a couple of those to put up on the shelf and kind of have that displayed because it does look really nice, just extension of the artwork.
Yeah, actually, that's sick. I'm looking up a couple right now just to see.
There are some that sell like for every set. And I was looking at the Melodic one, and then there's a Phoebus one, but I don't think I have a Phoebus to
Or
go
the
with the
Phoebus that they're
Melodic one.
doing.
Because there's a Phoebus Melodic combo. I have the Melodic, but just not the Phoebus, so we'll see.
Interesting. Okay. I'll have to look into that more.
Definitely. So, since we said last time we caught up on Josh's Japan trip, Josh has also had one more session of Unbounded since that Japan trip. So if you catch us up on that and beyond whatever's happened or is going to happen.
Yeah. Unbounded is getting interesting. We actually just finished an arc. Technically, they finished it because I wasn't in town, and it sucked a little bit because I missed like a pretty big thing, but also it was mostly a RP thing. One of the people in the group has like finished their arc in the Feywilds and became what was called the Bridge, which is essentially the like connecting person between the Feywilds and the Prime Plane, which Prime Plane is like where we exist now, and then the Feywilds is like the fairy dimension, effectively.
Right.
Well,
but now you have a bridge.
And now one of the members of our party is the bridge between the Feywilds and the Prime Plane, and got like this really cool, I'm trying to remember if it's Spine of the Maker or something like that, staff. Pretty sick. We all leveled up. My tree man has become a little more silly. Essentially, because he has this long arm trait, where he can use his arms as chain weights weapons. So think of like Silas from League of Legends, you know how he has the chains that he slaps people with? It's kind of like that. And that gives him the option of using them as unarmed strikes or lashing strikes. Mm-hmm. And I just grabbed the ability that makes me be able to use lashing strikes with strength. And so now my lashing has like a 91% chance to hit.
Small percentage,
and obviously that's depending on what the opponent rolls as well in his system, because it's always a contested roll. It's not like D&D where you're rolling against their armor class. You're actually always contesting the roll. So if I have a 91% chance to hit and the opponent like block defense has a 91% chance to hit, then we both have the same likelihood of hitting, and then it's just a matter of how much success we have. But it's still like, just to have a high chance to hit means that on average you're going to be doing a lot more damage. Plus it adds an extra D6 to my damage. Plus if I heavy strike, I get to double all of the dice that I roll. So not only am I getting an extra D6 on a regular swing, I'm getting 2 D6 on a heavy swing. Plus whatever else I decide to add to it and whatnot. Yeah. And the fact that I have, you know, summonable buddies, because the actual main ability tree for him is he has pets, basically, because he's a friend of the forest, so he summons like plant creatures and fights with them. Of the punging is like a secondary thing that I've worked on to connect him to his past self, as opposed to the main kit. Just turns out that somehow it actually works really well. But beyond that, we also got told we might be starting a new campaign soon. To include 3 other people, so we actually have a 6-man party instead of a 3-man, to kind of test how that feels with, you know, having more variety in Unbounded and whatnot. Right. I am very excited. It might be pirate themed, and I have a really fun idea for who I want to play in that.
Yeah,
because in the Arcanist tree, which is like the wizard tree, there is a section of spell or like levels called I don't know if it's chronomancy or if it's just time, and you have a bunch of time spells and stuff.
Right.
So basically, you get to the point as you take those skills where you kind of get Echo Ult, but in 2 pieces. Okay. So you can jump back in time, and you can also separately heal yourself for damage you've taken within the last round or two. As well as having a couple of other weird things going on. So my thought is if I'm a pirate, bro's going to be Ouroboros theme, so I'll either be a snake or a dragon, and he'll be a time wizard thief. So he's just going to be sneaky and have a lot of skills that maybe aren't super great for combat, because that's the one thing with the time wizard is like they don't get a lot of combat enhancing skills beyond the just healing and going back in time.
Yeah.
So my thought is if we have a 6-man party, damage may not be so much a problem. Especially because it sounds like people are going to be doing a lot of very heavy damage related things. So my focus is just to be a nuisance and either be more utility and help people do things or just be annoying and kind of like a Dodge tank. So that's one of my ideas. We'll see. It kind of depends. I've come up with a bunch of ideas just to see, you know, if it sounds like we might have a lot of magic users. And if that's the case, I may need to be more frontline. I just need to make sure I'm not punching, because two of the four characters I've played so far, with one of them being like a true one shot character, I have done punching. And so it's like, I need to not do that. Which the tree wasn't supposed to punch, it just kind of ended up that way.
Well, Josh, you know, it's obviously your first time ever you've built something with a punch build, you know, because you never, ever do that.
Yeah, I don't do punching in other game. I don't know what you're talking about. Yeah, no.
Never, ever.
Like, it's not my fault.
I weren't the punch guy
in other games. Okay.
Yeah.
Listen, I can't aim, so I'm going to go to the thing that involves the least aiming, which is if I'm half a foot in front of you, I'm less likely to miss.
Yeah, you're not wrong about that.
I'll still find a way, but on average I'll hit more. But yeah, so I've got that. There's also I think, and which doesn't fix the whole a lot of magic users problem, but there is a celestial section of the channeling tree, and I think that'd be really fun if we're just doing a boat, not necessarily a pirate, to have like a celestial channeler as your navigator. I just think that's cool theming. But I also have a couple of other ideas. There's a combustion tinker section to the tree, where you can basically replace a limb with a cannon. And I'm like, that is just the most pirate or ship based thing ever. I am our weapons guy. I shoot cannon. I am the cannon.
Your guy's the walking snake cannon guy, yeah.
Yeah, he probably wouldn't be a snake in that case, but it's just the idea of like, okay, this is someone else who fits in the ship dynamic and would be fun to have.
Yeah, maybe you could out through one of the holes in the ship, you know, where the cannon usually goes. You just stick your head out there. Yeah. And just, you know.
I don't know if I'd use my head as the cannon. I feel like I'm thinking more like leg, and then I just like prop one foot up, lean back, stick my leg out the window, and just fire out the window.
you're just sipping a cup of tea, and you got a leg sticking out, just shooting at people.
Exactly. I think that would be incredible. But we'll see. It kind of just depends on what other people are doing. We're supposed to have a session zero probably in about a month, I think it sounded like.
Okay.
So once we get to that, we'll see what everyone does. And I've intentionally come up with like a couple of different ideas from there. Mm-hmm. That some of them I need to look more into. The night of, I went and did like a whole write up for kind of my idea for where I want to start the Time Wizard. But for all of the other classes that I have, I haven't fully looked into them, so I need to do more research and prep them. And then I have those prepped if I ever need those characters for something else. And then I have to figure out their voices. Oh gosh, that's going to be a whole mess, but it's looking good. I'm super excited. I am very curious to see how a 6-man party works. And I talked to the guy running it, who's making Unbounded, and he has said he would be happy to help me run a campaign if I wanted to do one with the boys. I just have to figure out what that's going to entail. And figure out if I can actually get people to commit to showing up on time. For things, as we know, our group is horrible at doing.
Well, you know, maybe some of their characters can be ones that just kind of disappear for a while.
My only problem with that is I feel like that makes my life horridly difficult to make sure that whatever we're running into is effectively scaled. So we're not just getting. I'm not, you know, you guys aren't supposed to have like 6 people and then you only have 3 one day and all of my prep goes out the window.
Yeah, you know, the solution to that is just make me overpowered so that I can.
Of course. Yeah, just make you overpowered and then trivialize all the content and it'll be fine.
I will make the sacrifice for that. Okay. I'm a generous guy.
I'm glad. Well, I appreciate it. Yeah, we'll see.
I'll take one for the team. Okay, if you need to make me overpowered so that other people can survive, that's fine. You know, it's whatever.
I think it's on you to make yourself overpowered is how that works usually in these games. You have to connect the dots and find the build. And there are a lot of options. There are so many options. It's ridiculous. Especially with the game not locking you into classes ever in the same way, beyond just like obviously making sure you get the utility you need out of the class. Multi-classing isn't as cumbersome as it is in D&D. Plus, with the Otsma system, it's even easier for you to get benefits from other types of things. So it'll be a lot of fun. It'll probably be a while coming before we actually get to do that, because I'll have to make time to figure out what I want to do with it, figure out who all wants to do it, and will actually commit to doing it. And then I'll have to walk everyone through how the system works so they can come up with what they want to play. But I would like to do that because I think it would be fun to run. And I know our group has wanted to do something D&D adjacent for a long time. Yeah. And I think Unbounded, it'll be good for playtesting. If I, as a never run before, test it to see how easy it is to pick up.
Yeah.
As well as a group of entirely new people to D&D and Unbounded for the most part. Like, people have had, I think our group has had a couple people with like small experiences, kind of like how when I walked into Unbounded, but not really having played.
Right. Like, finished a campaign at least.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I've done a few one-shots, and then we've been trying to do Curse of Strahd, which is a very, very complex and long campaign, so it's going to be quite a while before we get done with that, especially because some people live out of town, and we try to do it when everyone's, in
town.
Or fun. Yeah. But, yeah, that sounds really fun, and, if we can get enough people involved in it, and since you kind of know how it works, and there's things that you can kind of look into, because there's so much that I feel like you're saying, that there's so much to tackle that you could just make it your own and have something or discover something that, you know, maybe even the game maker was like, oh, you know what, I didn't think of that, but that's like a cool thing to do or try out. And get more play testers for this new game that, you know, he made by himself, essentially, hopefully it kind of picks up and it kind of gets the traction that it deserves. And then, you know, maybe people just be playing Unbounded, and then, you know, Josh can be the Critical Role guy, but like for Unbounded, who knows?
We'll see. I don't know if I'm entertaining enough for that, but we'll see. We'll see how, if I can GM our group, how that goes, and then we'll talk.
we'll start with trying to get people to show up.
Yeah, exactly. Well, if we can get people to show up, you know, that is one huge step for anything happening ever.
It would be
a miracle if we get the people who agree to play to show up. And preferably not like an hour and a half, 2 hours, 3 hours late. Yeah, like when we try to play Baldur's Gate.
We're not even going to touch that part. Because I don't think we got very far in that one.
No, we lasted like maybe two sessions because we tilted people immediately.
Hey, I was just trying to play the game the way it's designed. It's do whatever you think is going to get you.
Look, just because me and you were trying to kick someone off a cliff doesn't mean we're bad people.
Very strong boss, by the way, in the early game.
Yeah, certainly.
Especially.
Yeah. They did just update a bunch of stuff. Maybe we need to get a different group of people together and try playing again.
Yeah, well, the patch 8 came out, and I haven't looked into it, and I haven't touched Baldur's Gate in quite a while, so I know people were very excited that patch 8 came out, and people like, time to get back into it. So yeah, maybe that's something we can do as well. But in the meantime, when we left the last time, also we had talked about starting a World of Warcraft campaign in Classic WoW, and it's my pleasure to let you guys know that we did start a campaign with a few of our friends It's a small group right now. We're not like a big guild or anything. It's just us having fun with our friends. So I'll introduce my character and then you can tell yours and we can give a little intro into the other people that are have their characters as well. Sound good?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So I wanted to be a Tauren warrior because I did enjoy watching the OnlyFans whole like campaign that they did for WoW. And I did enjoy the warrior class that at least I saw. So I decided to go Tauren warrior. And I made myself like the darker color of the Tauren warrior because I wanted to look like Black Alistar from League of Legends, which is one of the skins, so one of the OG skins. I think there was a promo that you had to get it through. I was too lazy to get it back then because I was like, I'll have more skins, and now you can't get it anymore. And I named myself Alice Tauren, because Alistar, and he's just like a tank warrior, Tauren. And I am just the beefy frontline that just tries to taunt as many people as I can. But I'll fine. Let Josh kind of get to tell us about his character.
Yeah, I'm playing an undead priest. I am a resident healer, for better or for worse, depending on whether or not I'm able to pay enough attention. but I've played a decent bit of WoW in the past, though I never played Classic. So I was just like, you know, it'll be fun. I could play healer. Then at least we have, hopefully, a reliable healer. I didn't do any setup like Syed did for his character. I just made a guy. I always play undead usually because, yeah, I just made a guy. I guess it's a girl technically, but like it doesn't matter. I made a character and I press the heal buttons and I make sure people don't die. But to me, what's more interesting is you've not ever played WoW, period.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So I've only seen I'm curious it. To hear how your experience has been so far. I think that's the fun part coming from having played it. Where you're at playing what is like an old version of a game for the first time.
So for me, like I've always been the periphery of WoW. Like I did play Frozen Throne. I did play Warcraft 3, but I never played like, you know, the online version with a bunch of people. And I've seen other people play, but I had never really understood what was going on or like, you know, all I would hear about is people's mounts and things like that and like what their character was decked out, what it looked like, but not like the gameplay. And I didn't really get into it as seriously until I started watching OnlyFans and their WoW campaign, and I would sit through their raids and watch the entire raid for like, you know, they would take like 6 hours for a raid, and I would watch the entirety of it, and it was really fun, you know, just kind of like working together, trying to get through certain areas, which are difficult as a group, and trying to make sure people don't die. And luckily, we're not playing hardcore, we're playing just regular classic WoW, because if we played hardcore, I don't think any of us would have made it very far before we had to restart. Because I died a lot in the early stages. But I think I like the simplicity of it. And I've always liked, like, I never really cared about graphics. I like gameplay. And as someone who's, you know, played a lot of those older games, I actually go back to a few of them, like ones I grew up playing as a kid. I would go back to them because the gameplay is just so fun. It doesn't matter if the character looks like a potato, you know, or if the car looks like the Cybertruck, you know. It didn't matter to me back then if they were like, you know, graphics, you know, deficient. Because the gameplay is just fun. And I think the same thing happening in Classic WoW is that it's just straightforward. You just play the game, you level up, you get stronger, you play with a group, and you progressively go through each dungeon, which is harder and harder based on your level. And so I've been enjoying it, and it's been a good break from League of Legends, which can get very stressful, heated, and frankly frustrating a lot of times.
I never told League of Legends, not once. But
in this, I can die 20 times, and I'm just like, oh, all right, time to go back, you know.
it's like, I didn't really lose anything, okay. Like,
oh, time to release the spirit, you know.
Although, I think when we get to later dungeons, that mentality might change a little bit.
Oh, yeah, for sure. No, well, I mean, die a few times, nobody has died in the dungeons yet. We've only done two dungeons.
That's not true.
But
we went the very, very first... my brain is blanking now.
Oh, right, yes.
Rachel Paracasm. After okay. The very, very first one where we were running with not a full group, I think, because people were busy or whatever, after that, we have not died since. But we're also only on Wailing Cavern, so we're only on the second one.
I guess Nick did die at the end of Wailing Cavern after we were done. On the way out.
Yeah, but that doesn't count. I'm not counting that.
Yeah.
Well, because then you'd have to count me accidentally jumping into the lava after we were leaving. Yeah. And I definitely did that.
You wanted to do that.
No, that was actually on accident. I didn't mean to do that.
You probably meant to do that, you know.
Oh, okay, yeah, it was a bit. You're right. It was on purpose.
Part of your bit, right? You're just like, oh, it'll be faster if I just...
Dude, I can't be dead. I'm already dead.
Yeah, exactly. You're undead.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's been super fun. And like the missions have been fun to just do, and some of them require you to be in a group, like when you're fighting elites or whatever. And I know you just helped me beat one of the elites that was a level lower than me, but he's an elite. And he had a whole bunch of people with him as well, so I couldn't be the beefy frontline and do DPS at the same time and stay alive. But when we did it together, it was easier to do. And it's just fun to just hang out with our group.
It's a good vibe game.
Yeah.
Just like hang out, do some questing and relax until we're ready to dungeon.
I can see why people come back from work and just get on a WoW, because like you can just kind of just, you know, it's not stressful. It's just you're just doing missions, you're completing missions, you're getting new gear, you kill things, and you know, just keep leveling up, and it's just like the simple. And I think that's a lot of problems with some of the newer games. They're just too much going on. And you're just like, oh, I got to do this, and this, and I got to go to this. And this one, you're just like, oh, I'm just going to go do something. And then if I die, I die. If I don't, I don't. Cool.
Well, you're not playing hardcore, of course, which we're not, but.
Maybe one day.
We'll see.
If I learn how to do it properly. Because. The reason we died in that first RFC raid is because I didn't know, because I wasn't a WoW guy. I had to go get my Tauren Warrior class specific spells so I could taunt things. I didn't know that. And then one of our friends, Logan, was like, hey, do you have any of the things that you need to tank? And I'm like, what do you mean? I'm not just supposed to level up and go head first into this cavern? Or the fire chasm. But after I did that and we leveled up, I think it went pretty smooth, and we were able to get through it without anyone dying. And then we went on to Wailing Caverns just recently, and we did two runs and nobody died intentionally, right?
Got pretty close once or twice.
Well, the first time it was just a mix of unfortunate events where we pulled an entire room of mobs, and I hit 90 people just kind of wandered off at one time.
Okay, it's not my fault that guy does your whole health bar in one smack.
Well, it also wasn't your fault. Like, there was a lot of instances where you got put to sleep, and then like Logan had to heal me, and like I didn't have enough potions, so it was a combination of unfortunate events happening at the same time. But the second time, you know, I tried to be the tank, because we didn't have a tank, because Logan was playing on his mage.
Well, we didn't have a sub tank or like a
off tank.
Yeah.
But you know, I was like, I'm gonna demo shout, I'm gonna make sure nobody touches Josh, And then Josh was doing the funny, and I would taunt people, and then they would just run off in the opposite direction because Josh.
To be so clear, by the time we did the second run, we were a good bit higher level. So we're like, as opposed to between 18 and 20, we're like 22, 23. Mm-hmm. And we're running it because one of our other friends hadn't done it yet. Because we've got six of us, so we don't have like a full. We have a little bit more than a full party.
Yeah.
And the first run was very stressful for me because everyone's like almost dying constantly. I'm having to keep everybody alive. This run was much easier. I had a lot more to play with. So I thought it's my turn to have fun. so yes, maybe I was going in there and psychic screaming to see if we could pull more mobs just for fun. But it was fine and everything was under control.
Yeah. No, we were not at the 90 HP mark this time around, even with all the funny bits we were doing. And it was a lot easier, and we had, you know, we kind of already done it before, so we knew how to get through it. So we were able to speed run it a little bit and get through it and not go to areas that had dead ends and have to come back. And this time Josh didn't, fail that jump twice.
We didn't do the jump, that's why. we went a different direction.
Yeah, and then he decided to just jump into the lava at the end for posterity's sake, you know.
Well, that was a different. That was rage fire. I didn't do that anywhere else.
Yeah. And then we're going to just keep leveling up and go to the next dungeon and just keep playing. And then, we'll try to update you guys how the next dungeon raid goes. I'll definitely have
a lot. Is the next one Shadowfang?
I'm not sure.
I think the next one Shadowfang.
Yeah. But the areas have been starting to get more and more dangerous. And I can't do the crazy solo stuff that I've been doing.
Oh, yes, I think it is. I think Shadowfang is the next one.
Okay.
I think so. You guys get to come to my home now.
Yeah, and you don't have to fly the blimp over every time.
Yes. Now all of you guys have to get wrecked, nerds.
Yeah. I'll just make that my home.
Hey, man, listen, I'm doing my questing over there, so I'm not going to have to. I'm not going to set my hearth over in Orgrimmar and stay with you guys. I'm going to stay home on my continent where I belong, where all the dead stuff is.
Home is where the quests are.
Home is where the dead is.
Where the dead is. It's been fun, and hopefully everyone is able to continue to keep doing this because our goal is to just like at least get through as many dungeons as we can, try to get to like the later game late game stuff, and then if we are still enjoying it, and we can kind of transition into the expansions and go to the kind of the new game plus part of World of Warcraft, which has a little more detail. I don't know the specifics of it. You probably know more than I do, but I'll just kind of go with the flow and keep having fun.
Yep.
And it'll be a good time.
Yep. Yeah. Maybe we go to Retail. Maybe we go to the classic, but the Cataclysm / Mists of Pandaria version. We'll see.
Yeah.
Depends.
Yep. And now we can talk about our new game that we haven't played together yet, which I think Trisha was down to play sometime this weekend, so maybe we can give it a try.
You mean next weekend?
Or no, she would be able to do it this weekend if you're free.
Oh, like today?
Yeah.
It may depend. We may have other things going on, League of Legends related, depending on how those conversations go.
That's true, but who plays League of Legends? I haven't played that in months.
Wait a second.
Yeah. I think I uninstalled.
Weird. Who was playing last night? That's crazy. I feel like we were playing.
I think I got hacked or something. Yeah, I don't know. I got played really bad last night, too, so it was obviously hacked. I may never play that bad.
There were other people playing worse, but
Wow, we all got hacked at the same time.
Dude, right? Isn't that crazy?
That's
like everyone we were playing with was just getting hacked.
Right, needs to fix that.
True.
But the game we're talking about is Repo, and it's one of the newer, I guess it's kind of like how people refer to Dark Souls-esque games. It's like roguelike, Dark Souls-esque. This is the Lethal Company-esque kind of genre of games where you go in with a bunch of friends, you have to get a certain amount of loot per mission, and they're obviously mobs that are going to try to kill you. But Repo is like the goosey fun version of it. I'm not saying Lethal Company is not fun. It's just like, it's goofy, but the mechanics feel better.
I think the game is just a better version of Lethal Company because I think a lot of the Lethal Company, the games that have come out based on Lethal, like kind of obviously based on Lethal Company, have not been like properly iterative. They've just been Lethal Company, but with this skin over it. For reference, to me, Murky Divers is quite literally a very similar game, but you're underwater instead of above water. And like the one iterative thing they did was how you transition between levels and controlling the submarine.
And Pilgrims, right?
Pilgrim. Well, yeah. Somewhat. Pilgrim's weird because I think that one is still very clearly in development. And so I don't know. Like, playing that, you're literally just going in, doing like goofing around and grabbing stuff technically, but there's no grabbing stuff for any kind of end game. So I don't know. That one I'm going to give a little bit of benefit of the doubt and say get some more time to cook and see what they actually make the end game or the end, like what you're actually going for. But yes, I think in most cases they're not as iterative, whereas Repo feels, I think the way I was describing it to someone yesterday is like it is like you combined Lethal Company with Moving Out, which is the game by the Overcooked devs. And that just creates so much chaos trying to pick up and move things and not break them on each other's faces or the walls while also being harassed by monsters. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, and then the monsters are super fun too.
Stupid bald man, I don't like him.
Are you talking about the big head?
Yeah, the bald man, yeah.
The big head, the floating big head?
The floating bald man, yeah.
Yeah, that was funny because me and Anson played one of our other friends, Lewis, this past week. And all I hear is, I'm facing the other way. I'm facing Anson, right? And there's a double door behind me. And I hear Lewis run, the giant head. I turn around immediately, and he's right there in my face.
And he eats you.
I have no time to react. I just hear, run, the giant head's coming, and I just immediately die.
Yeah.
And
there's a lot of
there was no gameplay, or there was no, like, I guess, anything to do at that point that I could have done. There is stuff you can do later in the game to kind of, like, you can get a baseball bat, right? And, like, punt the thing, or...
Supposedly, yeah, I haven't... Yeah. I don't know if I'm stupid or what, but my brain just can't make the physics work to actually use the baseball bat.
Well, that you're a frying pan kind of guy, you know?
I'm a punching kind of guy, and I don't get to do that. Is the problem?
Well, maybe you can ask the dev to put a punch thing in there.
I'll send a private message to the devs and say, "Hey, can you give me specifically the punch build? Thanks."
Yeah, just you. But yeah, it's super fun, and it is really funny when you have a really, like you're saying, a really expensive item, and then you're trying to be very careful and take it over to the little cart thing that they have, so you can take it back to the extraction point. And your friend is just like, look what I found. And then you both just run into each other and you lose like 15K.
Your friend sprints in the corner and breaks the china on their forehead.
And then I've only had the opportunity to have this mob a couple of times, the ghost guy, where he'll literally, you're carrying something and he'll just kidnap you.
Yep.
And just take you to the other side of the map, and then your friends just see your body just float away at like a mock speed to the other side.
Yeah, that guy sucks. Except not really. Like, he's only sucks when you're carrying something, because then he forces you to drop it.
Yep.
Otherwise, he's just goofy. I'm like, okay, I guess I'm done now.
This is my life now.
But yeah, no, the physics mechanics in the game make it so much more fun, I think, just because between picking stuff up, opening doors the way you have to open them, being able to like hide under beds and in chests and all of that stuff is a great time. I've spooked a number of people already. Trisha, be careful. That game will be the end of you if we play together. I've done bad enough in Lethal Company. It will be worse in Repo.
We're going to get so many sound bites to put in our Discord server, probably.
Oh, good Lord. Yeah, because we need more of those.
Yeah, because we don't have too many.
Only just a couple.
Yeah, just a couple. We could fill a few more. But yeah, Repo's super fun. If you haven't tried it, give it a try. It's made by like a small, company that made a super fun game. And it's relatively cheap. I think it's like $10 still. Compared to all those $80 games coming out recently, this will get you like hours and hours of fun for like $10, which is like, price of a movie ticket. So it's just great. It's super fun to play, and you can play with six people as opposed to like some of the other games where it limits you. You can play with up to six friends or a group of six. And I think they'll start making more mods and stuff. I did see there was a Freddy Fazbear one, which I don't even know how that works.
I like the one that Cole suggested, which was the Muppets one. But that's because me, Cole, and Diego all have our own Muppets characters that are like our guys that we love. Which for me is the Swedish Chef. For Diego is Beaker, and for Cole is Kermit. And Cole was like, well, that means we all have to do their voices. And that does mean that at least two of us will be completely incomprehensible the entire time. Because all Diego will be able to do is meeping and me burking. It'll be great.
You'd be like, I'm like, what are you saying, man? And you're like, burr, 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 burr.
Yep. Which, I mean, to be honest, probably not that different from me normally. But
it'll be a good, fun thing to do as a group.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Yeah.
I look forward to it.
Yeah. So we'll try to keep you guys updated and how that goes in our next session, whenever we do it, and then keep you guys updated on the other things we've told you about. I can't spoil it for Josh yet, but by the next episode, Josh is going to get a surprise in the mail.
Okay.
Also to mention, I had sent Josh like a collector's edition, like by Unagaba. There's a 1 of 9 Eevee cards that Unagaba, who's a Japanese artist, had collabed with Pokemon. And I'd gotten Josh that for his birthday. And these packs, so that was the Sylveon one. There's
one of my favorite of the evolutions. So that worked out. One of them, yeah.
Yeah.
It's like that one and Glaceon are my two favorites.
Yeah. Well, that was Josh's surprise for his birthday. But Josh is going to get another surprise in the mail. I'm not going to spoil it, but during the next episode, we'll let you know and kind of see what Josh thought of the surprise. But I'm not going to spoil it. So
I'm very curious. I don't know what this is.
It's going to take a while because it needs to be sent or like,
okay.
It's going to be shipped. But yeah. That means you guys have to tune in for the next episode of the Manga Boys, episode number 4. And by the time we do it, hopefully Josh gets it and we can talk about it and we can show you guys too, at least for the ones that will watch on YouTube. For the people that are listening, you can just look it up yourselves once we kind of reveal what it is and once Josh knows what it is, because Josh loves
surprises. Once I know what it is, I love surprises. That's not even me. There's a reason I play gacha games.
Yeah, Josh says, I'm going to show up at his door tonight, tomorrow. That's going to be the real surprise.
Dude, that'd be crazy. You probably should have done it on a weekend instead of, a work day, but...
Oh, I'm getting sick.
You're right.
There's going to be me and the bear at Josh's front door, where me and the bear
are hanging out
together. Yeah.
Hey, man, I'm down. We'll hang out.
Yeah. Well, thanks for tuning in. This is our third episode, and we'll see you guys for the fourth episode. It was fun to kind of catch you guys up on everything that was going on with me and Josh, mainly Josh because of all of the things he's done in the past few weeks. Super cool and awesome to hear about. But we'll update you on the things that we're doing together as a group as well, and some of our other friends, and see how things go. Appreciate you guys tuning in. Here's me, Sandman, signing off with my co-host.
Have a great time, guys.
Yeah. All right. See you guys. Thank you so much for tuning in. Bye.
Bye.